The first scripture reading for today comes from Proverbs 31:10-27-31. That is from the book of Proverbs, chapter 31, verses 10, and then 27 through 31. We find the author of Proverbs teaching us about the importance of respecting and valuing women far more than society and culture normally do. Let us read from your pew Bibles or on the screen in front of you. A capable wife who can find, she is far more precious than jewels. She looks well to the ways of her household and does not eat the bread of idleness. Her children rise up and call her happy, her husband too, and he praises her. Many women have done excellently, but you surpass them all. Charm is deceitful and beauty is vain, but a woman who fears the Lord is to be praised. Give her a share in the fruit of her hands and let her works praise her in the city gates. Here ends the first scripture reading.
It is a special Sunday today. And if you remember nothing about today, you'll remember Jeff and his serenade. That was classic. But as I mentioned before, when I speak of mothers, I do think of those who have had an impact and have been so influential in my life, growing up in the church and in other areas where I needed women to be able to put me back on course and back on track. It reminds me a little bit of that child who was told to do a school project on the birth of babies, and so she went to her mom and said, "Mom, how were you born?" And you may have heard this one before, but if you did, just pretend you didn't. And the mom didn't want to get into all of it, and plus the child was pretty young, so she asked the question, "What do you mean?" And the child responded, "I mean, how were you born?" And mom thought for a while and said, "Well, a stork brought me." "Well, then how was I born?" And the mom responded again, a stork brought me. "Now go play with your grandmom." And the child went and played with their grandmom. And then she asked the grandmom, "Grandmom, how were you born?" And the grandmom thought about it and after a while said, "A stork brought me." So the child went back to her room and began writing her paper. And the first sentence of the paper stated, "My family has not had a normal birth for three generations now." What we will do to protect our kids. Sometimes we go beyond what we need to go. Sometimes we do more than we really need to. But our scripture does speak of those who yearn to nurture, those who yearn to protect, those who learn to care for, those who love the children that surround them, biological or otherwise. And what we're going to see today, I hope, we have a really short New Testament scripture. We're out of Genesis just for today because it's Mother's Day. And what we're going to see is a church, more than any other group of people, is called to be that epitome of a nurturing community. We are called to be a mothering, nurturing church. And so the first century church, we know in Acts, they had everything in common and they loved those all around them and they nurtured each other constantly. And they nurtured especially those who were being brought up. And today we're called to do the same. Let's go ahead and read our very short scripture. It's in Matthew chapter 23. Verse 37, it's one of those scriptures where I wanted to say, well, let's just look at the second part of it. But we'll look at the whole verse and hang in there at the beginning part of the verse because it gets better as we get toward the end of it. Jesus is looking over Jerusalem. We think from the Mount of Olives, and he states, "Jerusalem, Jerusalem, the city that kills the prophets and stones those who are sent to it." Now, this is the good part. How often have I desired to gather your children together as a hen gathers her brood under her wings, and you were not willing. This is the word of the Lord. Let us pray. Loving God, we do ask you now that the words of my mouth and the meditation of all of our hearts would be worthy and acceptable in your sight, for you are our rock and our redeemer. Amen. So in this scripture, if nothing else, Jesus' main desire is to gather and nurture those around him to the point where they could then become mature in their faith. And throughout his ministry, that's his, I don't want to say his primary emphasis, because he was the Son of Man and he came to save. But certainly with his disciples and everyone else with whom he had contact, his focus was making sure that they became mature in their faith. He calls his disciples and he calls others around him my little children in various times in Scripture. Here in this Scripture, in Matthew, he makes himself equal to a mother. You're not used to hearing that, are we? Thinking of God or thinking of Jesus as someone who says, I'd love to gather you as a mother hen gathers her brood under her wings. And Jesus never had issues spending time with people and demographic groups that many would have questioned. In fact, many said you shouldn't be spending time with certain people. And that one demographic group that people objected to him spending time with was children and young families especially. He insisted, Jesus did, on nurturing the family of God, and that included everyone. And over time and historically, mothers, more than any other group of people, are given credit for being the most nurturing, and therefore they may even be the most loved of all people groups. But over the last 30 years, we have a tendency to point out into culture and society and say, look what's happening to our youth. Maybe not just the last 30 years, maybe that's been true of every generation, where then other generations point the finger and say, what is happening in our youth? What I want to do today is, as a church, I want to look at how are we doing, not just First Pres, but as a universal church, how are we doing with children today? So over the last 30 years, we have lost millions, with an M, millions of youth have disappeared from our churches. You may have heard these statistics before. I think about 4 years ago I gave these statistics out. 8 out of 10 kids leave the church before they get to high school. Before they get to high school. So that's 80%. 1 out of 10 kids, 10%, has any sort of Christian education. Okay? It's enough to break a mother's heart, and I know it would have broken Jesus' heart as well. Throughout our country and in our churches, there's been a bit of a loss of what I call a mothering mission, or the nurturing mission of the church. How well do we do in nurturing not just children, but also how well do we do nurturing each other? Think of how you were raised. If you were raised in a church, I'm not going to make you raise your hand because you know who you are. If you were raised in a church, think of how you were nurtured in that church. Think of how you were lifted up. And we all have our stories of how our childhood churches more successfully or less successfully raised us up. I know at one time I counted the number of churches as I was growing up, how many I went to, and I got to 7 different churches and 4 different denominations just because we traveled all over the place. So what kind of nurturing did you receive growing up in the church, if you grew up in the church? In the Bronkema family, 4 boys, whether we liked it or not, we had to go to church. The older 3 boys did it with a smile. The youngest, that's me, went kicking and screaming. I did not want to go to church, and I told my parents, it was unfair that they made me go to church. After all, I grew up in a family where my dad was a pastor. Hadn't I met my quota already? And they said no. I think I told you stories when I was in Italy. I would get kicked out of Sunday school periodically. No kids are in here, right? And this was when I was 7 or 8 years old, and I didn't want my parents to know that I had been kicked out of Sunday school, so I would go outside. It was in the middle of Rome in the busy streets. I would go outside and hide between the cars so that when the congregation came out of the doors onto the streets, I could just ease my way in as if nothing had happened. You know, for some kids, you expect the worst from them, and when you do, well, they usually surpass your worst expectations, right? Do you realize that each child in our church, and when you saw them here this morning, there's a good group of them this morning, every one of these kids is going to have 25,000 points of contact with an adult in the church as they grow up in the church. 25,000. Opportunities to connect with an adult who will show them the real, authentic gospel and the unconditional love of Jesus Christ, which is found in unconditional acceptance, something that we call grace. But so often, we feel as if the kids have to earn it before we give it to them. Now, the church's mission, and let's speak about First Presbyterian Church, our mission has increased certainly to youth as we made a part-time position into a full-time position a couple years ago. As we look to reach out to families with children, and we continue to try to be an even better church, nurturing. We're hoping to break that current trend that is happening around this society. And this church, we need to be able to make sure that when they walk in and they see it filled with people, they see it filled with people who have a nurturing, motherly approach and want to gather these children under their wings, as Jesus said he wanted to gather his disciples in our second scripture. But in a lot of churches, the youth will latch onto a leader and feel the joy of being loved, and that group will grow and bond together. But when that leader leaves, the youth will also leave. Why? Because the kids never make that association and that connection with the youth pastor and the church. More often than not, they say that youth pastor was an anomaly. He knew me. He knew my name. He liked me. He stopped and talked with me. While the church, it's still filled with the same old, cold people. I still feel unwanted. But this person, who's different from the church, accepts me. In some churches, there's no connection between these two. And the reason why is that the church doesn't always reflect the same loving, caring, unconditional attitude that youth pastor or youth director reflected. It wasn't just his job to love the kids. It's all of our jobs. And the church must be reflected through all of us, and the only way that that can happen is if every single person embraces every single child in a way that they know that they are loved. So I would love it if the kids, every time they sat in here, looked around them and said, "This is my family. These are all my mothers. These are all my fathers." Just as when we looked at them, we would look at them and say, "These are our children, and we have a responsibility for them." We just have a couple more months before Brett takes off for Princeton. Session decided this past meeting, I guess it was, that he's of so much value to the church that we don't want to lose him. So we are keeping him on half-time so that he can come back on Sundays and lead the youth group and lead that aspect of our youth ministry while we take on another part-time person to be able to fill the gaps during the week. That's a value to us. That's important to us to be able to do that. The earliest church had to learn a hard lesson from Jesus. I'd alluded to it earlier. Remember in Matthew 19, as Jesus is teaching, and the disciples try to interfere between Jesus and the young families with kids. There's this whole group of young families with kids who were trying desperately to get up so that Jesus would be able to bless their kids. And the disciples, which in throughout Scripture, when we talk about the disciples, who do we say that they are? Us, right? They're the ones who become the church. This group of disciples place themselves in between these young families and Jesus and say, he just really doesn't have time for you. And Jesus hears this, and so he yells out, "Let the children come unto me. It is not my will that even one of these should perish." That's the kind of attitude we need to continue to foster in this church, where not a single one of our kids will be lost. I think I told this story once before as well. If you all have stories about growing up in the church, I have one that is ingrained upon my mind. It had to do with coffee hour, right? Every kid's favorite time in church. And our coffee hour at Pleasantville Presbyterian Church in New Jersey, so we had the sanctuary and then we had a big lawn, and educational buildings and fellowship hall were across this lawn. And so after church, we would race over, see who the first could be to get into coffee hour. And we'd go over there and grab a fistful of cookies, and then we squirrel away somewhere in a classroom and eat them so that no one could see us, or at least see how much we had. One day, an adult, as we were grabbing our cookies, indignantly went up to the pastor. This is classic. So all of us could hear it, and pointed their finger. You remember this story, right? Pointed their finger at us as we were there at the table with our fists and our mouths full of cookies. Pointing a finger at us, saying, "They are stealing our cookies. Can't you do something loud?" And there was a collective snarl gathered on the people's faces as they saw us coming. Not every church was like that. In Pleasantville, man, it nurtured me. It was an awesome, awesome church. But that happened. That happened. You know, the church can't live without youth and children running around, taking cookies and grabbing Coke and snacks from the well and dancing in fellowship hall and eating the bread after communion, all of that which takes place in this church, disrupting the normalcy of life so that they know that they're accepted. A church can't survive without that. 95% of people who come to know Jesus, this is a staggering statistic, 95% of people who come to know Jesus come to know him before they turn 20. 95% come to know Jesus before they turn 20. So where should our emphasis be? Where should we be focusing? These kids' first experience of who Jesus is, it is going to only be interpreted through what we do, through what you do, and your love and acceptance of them. And so our goal as a church is that every single adult Christian who is active in this church will come to know that they have been called to give that unconditional love that they have felt to others, and especially to children. So if you felt the love of God in any way in this place, if this church has nurtured you, if this church has helped you to mature in your faith, then you shouldn't be able to help but share it with those around you. Thursday morning, I participated in the National Day of Prayer over at Smoketown, and I got there right on time, and there were two tables full of people, and then there was a third table where there was only one lone guy sitting. So I took my five plates of food over to that table and sat down, and I introduced myself. He said his name was Glenn Eberly. I guess he's someone who's pretty well known. And we talked for a while, and then another guy joined us, a guy named Sam Botta, who's the chief poobah, I think that's his title, at the Lancaster County Christian School. He's a headmaster, I think it is. And Sam Botta and I talked, and as we talked, it was so uncanny on the points of contact we had made throughout our lives without even knowing it. He had gone to King College and played basketball there, and a member of his team, a teammate of his, was the same person who brought me to Christ, which was pretty amazing. You see, I felt the love of God through a youth pastor. I've told you this before, who never gave up on me. Never kicked me out of youth group either. He should have. And he still hasn't given up on me. He still writes to me. We still call and talk. He still prays for me. And he was imaging God in Christ for me. So God made my youth pastor his friend. And that youth pastor, Big Al, yeah, he was tall. I could still school him, though. And that youth pastor, Big Al, made that boy named Bobby his friend. Don't ever call me that, by the way. Made that boy Bobby his friend, for God's sake. And from then on, it was just all about nurture. See, every single adult here, every one of us, we have that power to release the transforming power of God's friendship that they've experienced in Jesus Christ. Every single one of us has the opportunity to do that. And our kids are now looking in culture and society in every dry well for that contagious community that they'd be able to find. Folks, let's be that community. Let's continue to be that community. We've started so well and continue to do so well in doing just that, but let's continue to be that community and to each other so that we can be a mothering church. Amen. Loving God, we do come before you, and we give you thanks and praise and honor and glory as we recognize that each one of us has been equipped to be a mother. Each one of us has been equipped to nurture, to care for, to strengthen. Each one of us has been equipped to protect and provide. So watch over us, Lord, as we look to carry out our mission. We pray this now in Jesus' loving name. Amen.